Mike Bisaglia here from SeavillePodcast.com. You are about to listen to Runcast, a weekly form of everything running, with your host, Mark Lorenzoni, a community running expert who has been directing hundreds of area for nonprofit foot races and coaching thousands of runners for the past 30 years.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's edition of Runcast. Appreciate you listening in. Hope you've been on your feet. Had a little bit of a hiccup over the weekend. My first snowfall, real significant as far as footing event of the year. Of course, come and gone really quickly, one day, but neat to see the white stuff, but also remind us how spoiled we've been this winter and how wonderful it's been for our footing throughout the winter. We've had not a single day, ice or snow, pretty much up till then, that we had to worry about putting one foot in front of the other, unlike two winters ago when it was the 65-inch winter, you know, 2009-2010 winter.
Right.
Yeah, that was the one. And I personally think, and people say, oh, you're from the north, or you went to school in Michigan, or you're just saying that. I think this has been a great winter. I've loved it. We've had hardly a single day, and I get up at 5 to go out the door, 5:30, 6, whatever. There was hardly a single day below 20. I think we might have had two below 20.
You know, I go for the morning show a lot at the radio station. I can only think of a handful of days where I was like, oof, let me get into my car. It's been pretty good.
And I've had several people the last few weeks in the 10-mile training program say, you know, at the beginning of the winter, Mark, I thought you were just so full of it. You were talking about how the winter is a great time to train, you know, other than the darkness.
Mm-hmm.
If you're dressed properly, you warm up as you're out there. You don't even feel the cold after a while, and it's comfortable. And they were saying, now I'm sold on it. You know, I'm a guy, I'll take the winter over the summer, even though it's brighter outside. I mean, it's that whole feeling of being thirsty and lethargic. And it's a handicap. The exercise physiologist will tell you anything above 60, 65, it severely handicaps your racing. And anything above 75, 80, certainly for running, it's going to make you feel uncomfortable. Watch it.
Off topic of running a little bit, but I'll just say the falls in Charlottesville have been my favorite for the weather, the climate, the running conditions. Just
they are
50 to 60.
They are.
Beautiful.
I'm continuing to be in awe of how I see people running in the gyms on treadmills during the day. When I've gone over to do talks at some of the gyms, I've been over at the Boar's Head, I'll see them up on the treadmills. Beautiful October day. Bright sunshine outside, so it's not like it's a dark time scenario where I can understand being, and they're on that treadmill. I'm thinking, man, I guess my bias is that I cut my teeth back in the early 70s, an outdoor runner. Treadmills were for cardiac patients. They were unheard of
right. In
athletic clubs, except for someone quote-unquote older who had a heart attack, who was working their way back to, you know, some kind of semblance of fitness.
Right.
Now, today, they're everywhere. I'm not against them. I'm not saying that. It's just a different, sport, so to speak. You're still running, but it's just a different feel.
And right.
I think I'm spoiled in a way. I cut my teeth outside, and I love it, and I do love this season. So kind of getting off task here, but it's been a good winter. And it's kind of culminating here as we're getting ready to transition into March and start thinking about spring weather and spring races and spring events. We're culminating the winter. ACCs are this weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, of all places. Boston, the farthest northernmost school in the conference, is hosting this, Boston College. What the heck is it doing up in Boston when you've got schools down in Florida, and you got all the way up the Atlantic coast?
Exactly.
Why are we up north for this indoor track championship? Here's why.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the fastest tracks in the world. That is where the venue is going to be. Fourth fastest indoor oval in the world. Supposedly the times that have been set there rank it as the fourth fastest. Pretty cool. I heard that from Patrick Todd, sub-4-minute miler on the UVA team, gave me that little tip. So shut up, Mark, and sit back and enjoy the quality events. So we're looking forward to that this weekend. And then the high school state championship. So that's ACC championships, not national, but high school will culminate their season. Double A will be down at Liberty, and that's most of our area schools. Louisa, Monticello, Charlottesville, right. Western, Huffluvanna, the Double A schools will all be there. And then Triple A, which is Albemarle, of course, will be down at Hampton. Lot to expect from all the schools there. We had regionals last week, and Western girls won the region. Congrats to them. And the Louisa boys won the male side of the region. That was down at the Estes Center, down at FUMA. Winston Brown doing a good job of hosting that. The Taylor siblings from Western, kind of the talk of the night. They both have wonderful doubles, and a double, of course, is when you do two events. And in the case of these guys, they picked up four firsts. Annie Taylor, the freshman from Western, she won the mile and the 2 mile, the 16 and the 32. Congrats to her. And her brother David won the 1,000 and the 1,600. So racking up some points for Western, way to go. On the Albemarle side, pretty neat stuff. Although, let me get back to AA a second. Javonique Burris had her usual sensational meet, first in the long jump, second in the triple jump, first in the 55 hurdles. And then David Johnson being touted, and I think even UVA is looking at him, Charlottesville High School jumper. He was first in the long and the triple jump, and quite the athlete there. So congrats to him. And we'll see what happens at the state meet with both of those tremendous athletes. Albemarle, Adam Visake, who the big announcement last week, he went verbal to UVA. Pete Watson, congrats to you on picking up a wonderful young man, a class act, and a fast runner. And I'd like to think he's relatively untapped, typical Buzz male product. Buzz tends to bring these kids to the college altar, so to speak. He brings them out of high school, still fresh, still you know, ready to go. And Adam is far from worn out. 419 mile ran, has finished second at the regionals. And, of course, Adam is off to UVA. We had a wonderful, they did. I went over to attend over at Albemarle. These verbal commitment, right, where he pulls out the orange cap with the saber, cool, the V and the sabers, with his mom and dad and his grandparents. The AD, Deb Tyson, did nice talk, and Buzz, nice talk. And
very cool.
Packed, absolutely packed. All of his fans who are really his peers, the boys and girls on the Amra team, and, of course, my proud son, Alec, who doesn't coach him directly. Buzz is, of course, the mastermind, but Alec runs with Adam on a regular basis, and I don't know if I've ever seen Alec prouder. He really likes Adam a ton, and he's very happy he's going to run for Pete and at Virginia. But the big story of the regionals, serious, across the board, forget about us locals, this was just the story, is we called him the freshman phenom last year, Ryan Thomas. We called him the sophomore sensation this year. This guy, Mike, I mean, you and I have talked about him, or you've listened to me talk about him many occasions. He was the 4:23 miler last year. He was half a tick off of Alan Webb's freshman time, fastest freshman ever in Virginia history. Not bad company, by the way. Alan Webb, you know, sub 4 minute miler, has the American record in both high school and the open record for fastest mile time ever run by an American. So here's this kid, and he's I don't want to use the term obsessed, because that's a bad term, but he's very focused on this whole notion of leaving a legacy and rewriting the record books. And you might laugh, but listen to this. He ran 2:28 for 1,000 meters. Mm-hmm. 2:28. Now, that's a half a mile plus another 200.
Okay.
So half a mile plus another half of a lap on a track. 2:28. Most people can't run 2:28 for half a mile. Even in high school, that's pushing it for, particularly girls, that'd be pushing it. Guys, okay, not as competitive. But 2:28, go another 200 meters beyond the 800 mark. Second fastest time ever run in U.S. history by a sophomore. Okay, not Virginia, any sophomore. California,
cool,
to Virginia. The state record run by a senior named Alan Webb, 2:24. 2:24. Now, this kid's PR going into this was 2:37. He'd run it the previous week. But he had doubled. Here he just did one event, so he's in fresh.
Okay.
9 second PR.
Wow.
You don't do that. You're not a competitive runner that's been relatively experienced. 9 second PR. So 2:24 is Alan Webb. The national record, also, because Alan Webb lives here, trains here. Who has the national record? Robbie Andrews. Lives here, trains here, runs for Virginia, the Jersey Bomber. 2:22. Think, no way, you're putting a lot of pressure on this kid. Now, again, these aren't sophomore records, they're the records. So, puts in a little perspective, refreshing. He's not cocky as much as he is, just flat out believes in himself, and he's impervious to pressure. I mean, if he's listening to this podcast at some point, whether he takes the time to do this or not, he listens to this, it won't go to his head. He'll just say, Mr. Lorenzoni, I know, I think I can do this. I really do. So, and he's still kind of clueless out there, too. And I saw the video, and clueless in a nice way. When I call a runner clueless when they're racing, it's a compliment, actually, because it means you got that much more inside of you.
Right.
To when you actually do figure it out and get really focused. Not that he isn't focused, but the video of him, he's looking around, he's looking behind him. Now, Alec, my son, this also puts in a... Well, let's put Dave Taylor won the 1,000, okay?
Okay.
At the double A. He was 235, 236. This kid runs 228. And Dave, that's a good time because the year, yeah. Alec's senior year, he was half of an eyelash behind Danny Kane from Louisa, closest Alec ever came to winning a state championship title. Mm. And he ran 235 that day. Okay? That won the state. That was Alec's senior year. This kid's a sophomore. He's 228. Yeah. It's cool stuff. Again, obviously, I'm excited about it. Call me Mr. Hype. But, you know, 2 years when he's in the record books, maybe we won't be saying it was such hype. So neat to see. Sierra Ulan from Almar, nice sixth place in 1,000. And then Lauren Brady, who has disappeared off the running charts for the last 3 years. She came out as a freshman, ran some cross country, tore everybody up out there, set all kinds of fantastic times, and then disappeared into the world of soccer. No problem, Lauren. Good to have you back running. 11:39 for 3,200 meters. That's a tremendous time. She was six for Almar, so good to have her back. Like I said, states are this weekend. Let's see, jumping around here a little bit. UVA track update. March 24th, they open the gates for their first meet ever on the new track. It's the Swashbuckle, and it's going to have all kinds of collegiate events there. Several colleges have committed to come to compete against Virginia. And then they're going to do this cool thing called the Fastest Kid in the Ville.
That's right.
And so we talked about this last week, I think. It's, you know, who's the fastest 5-year-old over 50 meters? Who's the fastest 6, 7, 8? So trying to get folks engaged with that. On the same morning, we'll be having the McCormick Mile. That's a mile event for all ages, including kids. So that'll be at 7:30 in the morning. So you could go out and participate in the McCormick Mile and then go right up the street and sit in the stands and at brand new Lanigan Field. Beautiful.
Yeah. Go to baseball practice a few times, getting used to the team because a lot of new players and everything, and drove over there and I felt like it was a different world.
Well, isn't it cool, Mike, for all of us to be looking at the track and saying, wow.
Yeah,
so we had the Aquatic Fitness Center when that opened, that beautiful pool. And Klockner, when that opened, we're like, wow, state-of-the-art soccer lacrosse stadium. Then Davenport got built. Wow, it's like a minor league ballpark. Yeah. Very neat. Then you got JPJ goes up. Oh, my gosh, state-of-the-art, gorgeous venue for basketball, men's and women's basketball and concerts and whatever. And meanwhile, little old track over there slinking into the bottom tier, bottom feeding level of the ACC as far as the venue.
Right.
And now... Wow. And isn't that neat, the whole entranceway now with the stone and brick and the permanent ticket booth instead of those booths that blew over in that windstorm this spring? I mean, you know, it's awesome. I think UVA's just been waiting for this track scenario to get to fruition here so that they could tie all three of those venues together. You imagine you come as a fan now and you're going to a baseball game and you're walking by that track and looking down that track?
Oh, yeah. No, huge difference because I make the walk from the lower parking lot to the field and I'm always carrying the equipment and that's my walk. And yeah. I was like...
It's a beauty. I know. Yeah. It is an it's a mouth opener. And so the track then will probably be open either that following week to the public or the first week of April. And we're still you know, waiting on the hours. Brian is working those out, Coach Fetcher, which is great. Run for Home this Saturday. It's a 5K, Run for Home 5K. It's for our friends at the Haven, all of our homeless neighbors. It's a big benefit run. We have close to 100 people entered already. I'm surprised. It's a first-year event. I'm helping direct it. I'm excited about it. 7:30 in the morning, Saturday morning, starts down there right near the Omni and finishes right at Hamilton. So we shoot you right up into the sanctuary of the Haven because it was an old church, and we have free breakfast afterwards. Come on down, please. If you're listening and you know anyone, you want to run it, you want to walk it, come support our homeless neighbors. That'd be great. That's, again, this Saturday, the 25th. Martha Jefferson 8K is on the 10th. It's looming, so we're getting ready to start the spring schedule. That's March 10th. We have a kids' race involved. It's associated with that this year. That's another wonderful event for a lot of good causes there. And speaking of good causes, the Charlottesville Track Club is behind so many of these events. I was talking to Dave Murphy, the treasurer, the other day. Give back. Almost $500,000 they gave back last year. First two events out of the block this year, New Year's Day and the Valentine's Run. Each of them about $4,000 given back to the charitable causes, Boys and Girls Club and Amnesty International. So good for them.
10-miler is chugging along. Entries are obviously open, and the race is, I don't want to say filling up because it doesn't fill up, but it's on record pace. We should have I predict a record crowd because of the two things, the mild winter and the popularity of the 10-miler training program. We had 500 folks in that 10-miler training program. Obviously, not all of them carry through the winter doing that, but we sure have had a good attendance percentage throughout the winter. So that's just a little over a month away. That's the 31st.
It'll be interesting to see the times from the people in the training based on how great the weather has been. I remember you telling saying the story a few years back
when they couldn't get out. Yeah, you missed a lot of weeks. Yeah,
just because people couldn't get out there as much.
Missed a lot of weeks. The update on the course too. It's looking like we're back to the old finish, which means when you come down McCormick to mile 9 mark, you will not be turning around and then shooting down Emmett Street to that rocket of a finish.
Yeah.
You're going to be hitting the roller coaster of Alderman up and down and up and down and then up and down one more time over that last bridge over the railroad tracks before you hit the finish line. I'm sorry to say, because it is a much, much more challenging finish. And I can say this, you know, without feeling like I'm slighting someone, because I helped design that course. So Mike Inge with the new new course last year, the new finish line. So sadly, we're back to the old finish line. So
last year was the first year and the only year that I
for now. Yeah, I'd love to see us, potentially get something changed with that down the road. But anyway, we're excited about it. Mike's excited about it. The track club's excited about it. A couple of quick, a call out to Brian Helmke. He ran a 3-minute PR. That's about 15 seconds a mile. Pretty impressive at the Myrtle Beach Half, a 1:30. Wow. Pleasure of working with Brian, coaching him, and that's a tremendous time there, Brian. 1:30. That's getting down there. Just a couple of quick tips before we finish out. I get on folks about shifting their training schedules around. You've got your what we call your Q days, your quality days, and then your R days, your recovery days. And you want to buffer those Q days. So for you, a quality day is, you know, your long run. That's probably your biggest quality day of the week. And most people, it is with the 10-miler training program. For 3 of the 6 programs, the biggest quality day of the week, because they're not doing speed, is going to be that long run day. So you have to be careful to buffer that. So if it's Saturday, you want to go easier off on Friday and Sunday. Now, if you're training at a higher level and your second Q day is a speed session, say on Wednesday, you have to be really careful about moving that speed day, those quality days close together. So we like a big gap in between Wednesday, Saturday. You're going to move that Saturday run to Friday. You have to adjust the Wednesday workout. Big time. You have to be really careful with that. I see this quite a bit where folks messing with it. Had someone in recently, this is yet another injury scenario that hopefully a learning tool for folks, having all kinds of problems with strained calves and hamstring. Turns out sprinting on downhills, just surging them in the middle of a run, and it's, you know, going fast and fast, and all of a sudden pulled up lame because of this. That's an obvious one. That's not so obvious of the ones I've been seeing lately where people have a change in routine in their life. They're traveling more. They're standing more. They're driving more. So, if you're driving more, you're going to see more issues with your hamstring, your sciatic, and your back, or potentially your right foot. Why? Your right foot's the gas pedal. If you angle that foot improperly, you don't place that foot flat on the gas pedal, you drive with your toes, or you drive only with your heel. I'm mimicking it with my hands, of course, people can't see it, but imagine going like a 45-degree angle on the gas pedal with your foot. So your foot's torqued at a 45-degree angle. That's not good for your knees, and it's definitely not good for not good for your Achilles. So we see a lot of injuries that are associated with people's lifestyle. And you can bet your bottom dollar, if you're training for something significant, a 10-mile or a half marathon, a marathon, even a 5K, if it's a bit of a stretch for you, you begin to lose sleep, you begin to have stress in your life, you're traveling more, you are now more vulnerable to injury. And I saw this with someone the other day. They're in a residency program at the university, working 60 to 70, sometimes 75 hours a week, not getting sleep, high stress, going, standing a lot, having all kinds of injury issues, training for a marathon. It just seems to go hand in hand. You have to pay really close attention to what's going on in your daily life. And make sure, again, folks, you're hydrating enough out there. It's a sneaky time of year. I tell people to continue to try and get that 50 to 60 ounces in. And then just to call out, we're planning it, but just a teaser, on March 18th, we're still in the planning stages. We're going to do a marathon, half marathon
workshop, about a three-hour workshop with guest speakers. We're going to do that above the shop on March 18th. Stand by for more information. I'm really excited about it. Whether you've run marathons before or somebody like you, Mike, that's getting ready to do one, this right. is a do not miss. We're going to have nutrition. We're going to have exercise physiology. We're going to have injury. And then we're going to have coaching, which, of course, will Very be cool. me. But where there's going to be four folks, and it's not a panel discussion. We'll actually have a classroom-type setting. One speaker will come in. You grill the speaker. The speaker gives you all kinds of information. Then you go to the next speaker. So kind of keep it stimulating like that. And again, that's March 18th. That's a Sunday. So look for info on our website about that. All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And we'll have lots of cool stories, hopefully, next week about the state meet, about ACCs, and about our first run for home. Till then, stay on your feet.
This week's edition of RunCast was brought to you by the Ragged Mountain Running Shop, Central Virginia's community running and walking family partner since 1982. Conveniently located on the historic UVA corner with free parking at their doorstop. Visit them online at raggedmountainrunning.com or make sure you friend them on Facebook, Ragged Mountain Running Shop.